Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
What side will Bill take on the biggest issues in the world of sports? It's time for today's edition of Buy or Sell on Writer Than You.
It's time for America's favorite game show, which chugs along whether Pretty Daddy is here or not. Buy or Sell is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Without further ado, here's Pat Boyle.
What's up, folks? I'm getting compliments galore, by the way, on the doubled-up Easter outfit linen pants.
Good for you.
Wimbledon shirt that you have taken aim at today. So I just want you to know that. You are in the minority.
Yeah, I've also heard from the person who you labeled as Mike from Rochester. That was not his name nor his location.
But he's a real person.
So he has confirmed his defense of you, but he deserved better than what you gave him.
All right, well, it came up as Rochester on the phone screener. So if he's from some little, you know, East Bumble whatever town in New York, that's
Don't
not Rochester.
Don't dig yourself a bigger hole.
I got the town.
Just say thank you.
Why am I on the defensive here?
Just say thank you to the guy who has your back.
You didn't believe he had my back. You didn't believe there was a real person.
And I respect his opinion. So good for you. That's a point for you. But don't now diss where he might be calling from in upstate New York.
All right. Well, as Tiki Barber says, kiss ass. We start with the men's Final Four, which is now set for this upcoming weekend in Phoenix. Dan Hurley and his reigning champion UConn Huskies take on Nate Oates' 4-seed Alabama, while Zach Edey and Purdue go to war with DJ Burns, DJ Horn, and the team of destiny, the 11-seed NC State Wolfpack. UConn, the odds-on favorite to win the title. No surprise, they're the top overall seed and reigning champs. When is the last time a team has looked this dominant? You've talked about it. John Fanta has talked about it. I'm sure there's not many people that think UConn can be beaten, but can any team keep it close? They've led by 30 points at some point in all four of their tournament games this year, including against the team they played in the Natty last year, San Diego State, and then Illinois, the number 10 ranked team in the country. They've won every tournament game the last 2 years by double digits. Bogus, buy or sell, any team can keep the final score within single digits against UConn here the remainder of the way.
I'm going to sell that, Patty B.
Sell.
But there's a caveat. I think Purdue, if we get Purdue UConn on Monday night, I think Purdue will give UConn its toughest test of this tournament. And I think the final score will be outside single digits because UConn will hit some free throws, a hoop or two late, to pull away. Like, NC State put points on Duke late yesterday because Duke was scrambling, pressing, and they're throwing up the floor, and DJ Burns or somebody else is laying in and getting fouled. UConn will pull away from Purdue late to make a good tight game look a little less tight than it was.
So you think Purdue will keep it within single digits, though, for most of the contest?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy that we're just asking if any team cannot get blown out by UConn?
That's how good they are. That is how good an unbelievable Saturday was.
Let me give you a hot take here.
Please.
I think Purdue can beat UConn.
I think Purdue has the best chance to be UConn.
I think they can.
But they won't.
I'll put some shekels on Purdue if I get a plus 10.5.
It's 9.5 right now, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's the initial.
Those are lines for Saturday.
It's 11.5 against Bama.
Right.
And I would assume you get Purdue-UConn. I would assume the folks in Vegas, the smart people that they are, knowing that UConn has won every game by double digits, they want action on both sides. They want people to bet Purdue, right? Because everybody's going to be dying to bet UConn. I think you get a 9.5.
Okay. You would know better than me, but that sounds right.
Oh, yeah. BetQL every Sunday morning with our old pal Sean Maresh.
There it is.
All right, folks. While UConn may dominate their way to another national title, our big, weird, wasted hero, DJ Burns, has taken America by storm. As has NC State, who have now won 9 straight postseason games on this magic carpet ride. They were 17-14 going into the ACC tourney. They won 5 games in 5 days. They've knocked off 3 higher seeds this tournament, including Marquette and Duke. But many are bandying the word Cinderella about them. Can a team from a Power 5 conference be a Cinderella? Buy or sell NC State being, quote-unquote, Cinderellas?
Yeah, I'll buy it.
Buy.
If you have to win your way in, I don't care what league you're coming out of, if your only path in is to win your conference tourney, and then you win it playing 5 games in 5 days, you're absolutely Cinderella to keep winning 9 in a row now on your way to the Final Four, first time since 83. They are absolutely Cinderella.
I disagree. That's a full disagree for me. They're in the eight. They play in the ACC.
They didn't play well enough in the ACC.
No. Cinderella's a reserve for the George Masons, the Loyola Chicagos with 197-year-old Sister Jean, the St. Peters of the world. Those are Cinderellas. Those are teams that, like, statistically on paper, and when you actually look at the tournament, you say they have no chance of getting out of the first round, let alone to the Elite Eight or all the way to the Final Four. North Carolina State was a bad team for 3 months, and now they got hot. They're a Power 5 conference team. They play in the ACC. They're not a Cinderella.
Okay, they are, whatever you say.
How?
Because they shouldn't have been
in the... Cinderella's a reserve for the smaller conference teams.
No.
That's why they're Cinderellas.
No, they're Cinderellas because they weren't supposed to be here, and they're here.
That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
You could say San Diego State wasn't supposed to be here. They were a 5 seed. If they beat UConn, are they Cinderellas?
No, because they were going to get in no matter what happened in the Mountain West tournament. They were a ranked team most of the year.
But you said it's a Cinderella's anybody that's not supposed to be here.
Yeah, NC State's
like
not supposed to be there. They're not supposed to be here. They weren't supposed to be in the tournament to begin with.
Yeah, they weren't supposed to be here because they sucked.
Right.
They sucked.
Yeah.
But they also play in the ACC. Like, if they play in the MEAC, they win their conference tournament easily. They probably win 28 games. And then we're talking about them having just as much of a chance to maybe make a surprise as a McNeese or a James Madison, other teams that won 30 games. They're not Cinderellas either. A Cinderella is a team like a St. Peter's who wins, like, 18 games, makes a little nice run to win their conference tournament, but should have no chance under any circumstances win against a 1 or a 2 seed, let alone get to the Elite Eight or Final Four.
If NC State was in the MEAC, they wouldn't have either DJ Burns or DJ Horn. You can't just take them and drop them in the MEAC. You can't do that in this exercise. The bottom line is they were a Cinderella in the ACC tournament. So they have to still be one of the big days.
It's an improbable run. They're not Cinderellas.
They're Cinderella.
They were an awful
team.
They're an
11 seed.
Their coach was on the verge of getting fired.
Sounds like Cinderella to me.
They were a bad team that caught magic, lightning in a bottle, and are now hot. They are still a Power 5 team. They could have been playing this well all along, and we wouldn't have been saying Cinderella. They decided to crap the bed for 3 months and then say, oh, all right, our coach about to get fired. Maybe we should play well.
Because they're on a Cinderella-like run.
No. Cinderella is... I'm trying to think of a good analogy. Cinderella, it's like if you have a hot chick in school and you're like, well, she really just doesn't try to make herself look presentable. She kind of just looks bad. And then all of a sudden she starts wearing makeup, wearing nice outfits. She starts, you know, have a bubbly personality and you're like, oh, where did this girl come from? But it's like, yeah, you know, we kind of saw that she was good looking all along rather than, you know, the girl who plays the tuba for the band. No offense to anybody that does that. But that's a real Cinderella. If all of a sudden she gets invited to the ball by the high school quarterback.
By the Pat Boyle.
No, you're wrong here. They're not Cinderellas.
Okay.
They're not.
That's fine.
All right, over to the women's tournament where we probably get the most watched college basketball game, men or women, in quite some time tonight, maybe of all time, when we get a rematch of the national title game from last year. Caitlin Clark in her final March Madness, the Iowa Hawkeyes against Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, and the reigning champion LSU Tigers. the spiciness of Kim Mulkey and the headlines she's made and the headlines made about her, along with her greatness as a coach, Caitlin Clark being the greatest college basketball scorer ever, and the way the game ended last year, Angel Reese following Caitlin Clark around the floor, holding up the ring sign as the buzzer ended, has made for one hell of a matchup tonight. When asked about the rivalry between the two, we played it before, Angel Reese said, "There's nothing personal. It's about great competition." I don't know if you follow somebody around on the court holding up your finger to them if it's not personal. Bogues, buy or sell that it is not personal between Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark?
I'm going to buy it from Angel Reese's perspective.
Buy.
Because she told us yesterday it's not personal. Now, maybe Caitlin Clark feels differently because she was the victim, quote-unquote, a year ago. Whatever it is, it's fun. And I'm glad we're getting it again tonight. And whether it's Angel Reese able to do that or something like it again because her Tigers are winning again, or it's Caitlin Clark celebrating her little personal redemption against LSU, either way, as an audience, we win.
Buy or sell that this game breaks the record for most watched college basketball game ever.
So I don't know what the record would be, but my answer is sell. Just because...
Sell.
And this is where I think the danger of comparisons comes in, right? Because last year, the women's tournament was amazing. The ratings were great. But the men's Final Four was still more watched and set, broke a recent trend because it's the men's game just has a different built-in audience still. So they may break the women's record tonight. I don't know that they're going to trump all of the records because that's still asking a lot of any men or women non-Final Four, non-title game.
I've got a lot of hopes. I've got high hopes for this. I think the women's game has blown up in popularity. I think this is a chance for them to really make their stamp. I think it's a Monday night, April 1st, after a holiday. Some people still have off, maybe spring break for the kids, for the kiddies and the parents. I think you have a chance to really break a record here tonight. All right. It's April. It's NFL draft month. We're 24 days away. And as we ramp up, the talk will only intensify on the court.
So just for the record, real quick, the number one game, college basketball, apparently is still Bird and Magic in 79. And that was a 24 rating with 35 million viewers. Nothing's touching that in 2024, men or women. We're just not getting to that. But even last year's Final Four, well, it doesn't come close to that. It did really well in a raw number. So, like, let Caitlin Clark in this game tonight break the women's record. Don't worry about the men's side. You don't need to break men's records to prove the value and the worth of these games. Just let them set their own records tonight, play a ridiculous game, and then everyone can be excited by it, proud of it, whatever, tomorrow morning.
Okay. Fair enough. On the draft, this hype started early last month in the quarterbacks when J.J. McCarthy's draft stock apparently exploded after his combine and pro days. Many think he might now go in the top four. Most think Caleb Williams is going one, followed by a combination of Jaden Daniels and Drake May 2 and 3. But some mock drafts have McCarthy going at 2. A lot of folks seem to think he's definitely going top 4. Bogues, buy or sell, we get 4 quarterbacks, one after another, to start the NFL draft.
Man, bye.
Bye.
I can't believe it, but too many people have them in some order going 1 through 4. The one caveat still seems to be what happens at 4 and 5, and then the last of the 4 quarterbacks is taken at 6, which the Giants currently own. But we're getting all 4 that to me right now is worst case scenario, quote unquote, is 4 of the first 6 picks are quarterbacks.
All right, go ahead.
Well, I just, we can do this more after buy or sell. I still can't get there yet on J.J. McCarthy. I just can't. There's still some just intellectual disconnect that Michigan, when they had to at times, didn't let him throw it. And now he's going to be a stud NFL quarterback. There's like something about that just doesn't make sense to me.
All right, rapid fire here. LeBron, 40 points last night. He was asked after the game how much, if he's got, when he plans on retiring. He said, "I don't have much left. So I'm not going to play for another 21 years. Good one. Buy or sell, LeBron retires after next season.
I'm going to sell.
Sell.
Because after next season, worst case scenario, that's when Bronny's in the NBA draft.
Yep.
And if he can fight his way through one more year just to play with Bronny, he'll do it. But I think part of the reason why he's kind of changed these comments, I think he's realized how, and this certainly factors into the health issues, I think he's realized how far away from the NBA Bronny actually is. Even though he keeps talking such a big game about it, I think he's realized that it's not going to be as easy as they thought it was going to be.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be a lottery draft pick this year.
In a bad draft.
Yeah.
In a bad draft, he, at the last time I checked, he was just in the first round.
Now, he's probably going to transfer from USC. Did he enter the transfer portal? I saw some Fugazi articles.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards Fugazi for now.
Yeah, I don't know if he's coming back to USC or if he's going to transfer either way.
Or go in the draft and just see what happens.
Yeah.
And let Daddy and his agent push and prod people to take him and maybe play with LeBron somewhere.
Pretty Daddy.
Is that it?
That's it.
Feels like it.
We could have gone more, but Dexter Henry is waiting patiently.
Mm-hmm. And I've been in that seat, and I don't want to make him wait any longer because Disa will not. He looks at me and talks more during buy or sell because he likes watching me sit here and do nothing.
Wow.
So I don't want to do that to Dexter.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.